to Sportscast August 27, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, iTunes, and Periscope. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And, of course, visit us on thesportscast.net for the latest. College football week one begins this weekend, and the biggest game for week one is Oregon Ducks versus Auburn War Eagle. Pac-12 versus the SEC. And to join us to preview this game is Ty Turner. Ty, welcome back to the Sportscast.
What's up, man? How you doing?
What a weekend. Week zero was pretty good, but we'll save that for after this segment. This is a big opener for Oregon and Auburn, both vying for spots in the college playoffs. How do you see this game?
Well, I'm just going to go break it down because how do I see it? I mean, there's so much. Can't just answer that one like that. To break it down a little bit, you have – this is probably the best matchup. This is not probably. This is the best matchup. Actually, the last few years, week one has had several great matchups. There'll be like – I remember there's one year there's like five top 25 matchups. I think it was like 2 years ago. I think last year there was like four. This year, there's only Oregon and Auburn's the only top 25 matchup. So that's interesting. I mean, there's some other good games, like Stanford Northwestern's an interesting game. You have, like, you know, Cincinnati and UCLA's kind of a – well, and that's not even top 25 match. Funny to know I'm mentioning that one. But, you know, maybe Oklahoma and Houston maybe is a borderline top 25 non-Power 5 school. So, but there's not like – yeah, I was kind of looking at it, and I was like, wow.
Yeah, it's
really
only the biggest game, yeah, this weekend. Yeah, I mean, there's some other borderline games, but
– yeah, by far the biggest game is two – I believe Auburn, if I'm not mistaken, is number 16. Oregon's number 11. So it's basically two top 15 teams. It's the, you know, the SEC versus Pac-12. It's always interesting because SEC is considered the best conference in college football. Pac-12 has kind of been beleaguered. I know they sometimes say that there's some narratives out there that the Pac-12 is the weakest conference in the Power 5, but I actually would say that's not true. If you actually break it down top to bottom, I'd probably put it about third, probably behind SEC and Big Ten. But I put it ahead of the Big 12 and ACC. But, I'm excited. I'm excited for this game. What I'm most excited about is the different matchups. You have arguably the best offensive line in college football, definitely the best offensive line out west, against one of, if not the best defensive lines in college football in Auburn. You have a four-year starter, a future first-round draft pick, possible Heisman Trophy candidate in Justin Herbert, going against a true freshman in Bo Nix. Harold, the true freshman, but true freshman nonetheless. You have a lot of injuries on the wide receiver corps for Oregon, but one of the biggest question marks on the defense of Auburn is their secondary. And so, I mean, just, you know, it's intriguing. It's going to be interesting. What else to say on it? Then you got Gus Malzahn versus Mario Cristobal, and it's everything that you want for a first opening. It's in Jerry World, Dallas Cowboy Stadium. It's the kickoff classic. So it's going to be a great game.
Now, Gus said he's going to start or he's going to play with six running backs this weekend. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, and when I saw that, I was like, oh, dumb comment. But then I actually saw the interview and the context, and it was kind of a throwaway comment. And every coach is different, but I noticed, I mean, Mario Cristobal is a super transparent guy. He's one of the most transparent. He gives answers. But when he did his media, like press conference this week, he gave nothing. He hardly answered any questions. And Gus Malzahn did the same thing. And Mario Cristobal also allows media availability, usually for about 25 minutes at practices and stuff like that. He gave no media availability for the last week. These guys are locked in, and they don't want to give anything away. So when he answered that question, when I saw him answer it, he was just kind of like, oh, we could play six guys. He's not going to play six guys. I think it's going to be is it Jordan Winslow? I think it might have the name wrong, but I believe that's the main guy. I think there's – Joyner's kind of an all-purpose guy.
Jatarvis Whitlow.
Jatarvis Whitlow, there you go. Sorry. Joyner's kind of an all-purpose guy. I believe DJ Williams is the guy that they could use. So, I think they'll play about three. And, on paper, you saw me do an article. When you break down the analytics, it's a pretty close matchup. When you go to talent on the rosters, 247, 2019 team talent composite came out this week. It's my favorite feature. I just love it. I have my own team talent. I have it in my own team talent formula, and it's pretty close. The only difference is they use the Gastonian distribution formula to come up with the metrics to weigh the composite points on every roster. So every single player in the roster gets value, whereas mine, I give most value to five stars, then to four, then to top 100, four, then four, and then no value to three. And then I actually do negative value to two stars and open roster spots. So while mine is not perfect, when I actually came out, I was not that far off. It was pretty similar.
Pretty close.
Yeah. But anyways, Oregon, 17th most talented roster. Auburn's number 13th most talented roster. There is like, I think it was like 26 composite point value between them, 26 better for Auburn. Slightly on paper, a more talented roster for Auburn, but also on Oregon, if you were, just so you know, for your own sake and the listener for his own sake, six of the best players, if you were to name the top 10 best players currently coming in to Oregon season, you would list Justin Herbert, the quarterback, you would list linebacker Troy Dye, you'd probably list the three linemen, center Jake Hansen, offensive guard Shane Lemieux, and offensive tackle Calvin Throckmorton, and then you'd probably list maybe defensive tackle Jordan Scott, who's been a two-year starter and was the all-preseason all-pack guy. Well, all six of those guys were three stars. All six of those guys fell under the 88.6 average of the average player rating for Oregon. I mean, I think it was like 87, 85. Like Jordan Scott was 84. So Justin Herbert was 85. So the fact that six of your best players are actually under your average rating, yet they're your best players, I think that this is a pretty equal talent game. There's not going to be a ton of difference in talent. So if you can break it from just the talent metrics, it's going to be pretty darn close to even. And so then it will rely more upon coaching and execution. And whoever executes better and whatever coaches call a better game, I think will be the victor of the game. I mean, pretty much will be the victor of the game.
What weakness does Oregon have against like when they will play against Auburn?
It's the first game of the season. It's tough to really know. Mm-hmm. If you were to ask me this, okay, so I've done a lot of research on it. So I would say having three of your top receivers injured is not good.
It won't help.
So you had projected senior starter, Brendan Schooler. He's out with a broken foot. You had true freshman Micah Pittman, who had a heck of a fall. He was a top 100 player. Was probably going to, if he wasn't going to start, he was probably going to be the first guy off the bench getting a lot of reps. He broke his collarbone. And then J.R. Waters, he might have been in the rotation. He might not have been. Maybe because Schooler and Pittman are out, he might have gotten in. He broke his foot. So three injuries, I would say the weakness would be the wide receiver core. But we still got Juwan Johnson, the grad transfer from Penn State. He started for 2 years there. We still got Jalen Redd. He was the leading receiver returning. We still got Johnny Johnson III. He started several games the last 2 years. We got a good receiving tight end in Jake Breland. And we have actually both our running backs are good receivers. CJ Verdell was like third on the team in receptions with 27 last year. And add into the fact that Auburn's secondary, from everything that I read, was a little inconsistent. And those guys are back, but they're very athletic, they're very quick, but they're a little undersized, and they were a little inconsistent, like overrun plays, getting out of position. One guy was a converted wide receiver. receiver, Noah Igagwa. I don't know how to say his name. Noah Igagwa or something.
Yeah, whatever.
It's Noah whatever. And then Javaris Davis is the other. They can fly. One of them, I think it was Javaris, was like a 10.1 track guy in high school. And then Christian Tutz is like kind of a star position. He's kind of a nickel guy. And Javaris Smoke Monday is one of the safeties. I can't remember all the names exactly, but they're inconsistent. They were inconsistent at times. Sometimes they were out of position. Sometimes they gave up big plays. So the fact we have injuries, but we're still bringing back probably the more productive players, and the fact that their secondary was inconsistent last year, and we have Justin Herbert. We have one of the best quarterbacks in college football. I don't know if that's a weakness. It could seem like it could be, but it might not be. And other than that, they have a great D-line, but we have one of the best offensive lines in college football. We have five starters coming back. They have 138 career starts between all of them. Three of them are first-team all-conference, preseason all-conference, all Pac-12. I think two or three of them will be drafted next year. And then probably in the year after, Penei Sewell will probably go in the first round. So that kind of is a wash. They have Derek Brown, who's the first-round projection at defensive tackle. Nick Coe and Marlon Davis, both terrific players who will be playing on NFL rosters someday, but we do too. So that's kind of a wash, and I don't know. When I look at it, it's like I said, it's a very even matchup. Not only is it the best matchup this week, I think it's just a very even matchup. I mean, I don't know. Their good is our good. Our weakness is their weakness. It is what it is. I think the difference will come down to execution. And in my opinion, what I really believe the difference will be and why I picked my team, but I actually have been pretty consistent. I've thought the same thing for months. senior quarterback, four-year starter against a freshman.
Bo Nix.
I'm going to take that. It was going to be Nix or Gatewood. Either way, it was going to be a freshman.
What do you think about Bo Nix?
Hold on, let me answer this question first. Every time I'm going to take the one of the best quarterbacks in college football, a future NFL draft pick, and a four-year starter over a true freshman. So I really think that's just such a huge difference in this game.
Which happened last Saturday.
Nix is, but by the way, what do you mean?
With Miami and Florida. The experienced quarterback won.
That is not why they won.
Well, one of the reasons. Partly.
Wait. No, it's not. Felipe Franks played. Jaron Williams outplayed him. Jaron Williams, the Miami quarterback, outplayed him. He was running for his life. Felipe Franks played terrible. He fumbled the ball at two horrible interceptions. They almost lost because of Felipe Franks. They won that game because Miami blew it with the fumble by Jeff Thomas on the line.
Don't remind me.
And also the fact that their offensive line had like eight penalties and gave up like six sacks. I mean, no. I'm not mad, by the way. Don't take me as that. But that did not happen last weekend. Felipe Franks did not win the game. No, when I'm talking about a quarterback winning the game, I'm talking about the game is like, you know, Justin Herbert makes no turnovers. Bo Nix makes a couple turnovers. Justin Herbert leads them on a extra scoring opportunity. Maybe he scores at the end of the first half to get them ahead in the game. Or maybe he leads them from behind at the end of the game to win the game. That's what I mean the difference. He's not going to make the mistakes. He's going to put them in scoring position at the right time. That's what I mean by the quarterback winning the game. Not Felipe Franks, who does a bonehead couple interceptions, fumbles in the red zone. I mean, they didn't win because of Felipe Franks. They won despite Felipe Franks. So, no, that's not how I expect. If Herbert wins like that, all I'll say is they're lucky as crap. But, I actually think Herbert's going to lead them to victory, and I think Bo Nix makes – I really do think he makes a freshman mistake somewhere in that game.
There you have it. Bo Nix, freshman quarterback, announced a couple of weeks ago that he'll be the starting quarterback. Ty obviously talked a little bit about the Florida game. Florida beat Miami 24-20. It was a back and forth game. Miami opened the game with the ball and quickly began moving the ball down the field. Quarterback Jaren Williams, which had a great game, opened with a completion to Brevin Jordan for a gain of 18 yards. Later, Williams found receiver KJ Osborne for another gain of 18 yards. Jordan caught another pass for 15 more yards, and Hurricanes were driving. Florida linebacker Ventrell Miller was able to burst through the line to sack Williams and put Miami behind the chains. The Hurricanes eventually had to settle for a Bubba Baxa 36-yard goal, which put Miami up 3-0 early. So looking at it, people are saying Florida is overrated. From this game, do you think Florida is still overrated?
Yeah, I mean, it was a terrible football game. There were so many turnovers. There was tons of penalties. It was not a pretty game. I didn't really see the end. Did Felipe Franks lead them on a game-winning touchdown?
Yes, he did.
Okay, so he led them on a game-winning touchdown. I still wouldn't say he won the game. If you turn the ball over, two interceptions in your own territory and fumble in the red zone, and all those plays were Felipe Franks, he didn't win them the game because Miami could have taken advantage of all those and put the game away. They didn't. So he didn't win them the game. And Jaren Williams didn't lose them the game. The fact was Jaren Williams didn't play a bad game. He was running for his freaking life. He actually made less mistakes than Felipe Franks. He played the cleaner game than Felipe Franks. His offensive line between penalties and sacks did him no good. Now, granted, Florida has a really good defensive line.
Yeah,
Florida does have elite defensive line. They have a great secondary. Was not super impressed with their linebacker play. I heard that they were doing. I think they're new there. Their linebackers missed some tackles, which allowed some big plays. That's definitely the weakness of their defense because they have a good defensive line. I do think a couple guys went out injured. This is the problem I see with Florida. They don't have a great offensive line. Their offensive line made some mistakes. Their offensive line did not protect Franks that well. Franks is an inconsistent quarterback. He turns the ball over too much. He had that poor fumble in the red zone. He had two really bad interceptions in his own territory. And the fact that they don't have good depth, I think it's they're down seven guys on scholarship, and they're even filling it in with some two stars, which is like non-Power 5 level players that – if they have a bunch of injuries, especially at key positions, they could be in trouble. I thought it before the season, and then I think the same after the game. I don't think Florida is a great team.
Do you think they might drop a few spots after this game?
I don't think they deserve necessarily. That's right, they're eight. okay, for instance, if Oregon beats Auburn, I think Oregon would go up to eighth.
Yeah, they'll flip.
And Florida then would automatically drop down. There's not enough other teams that are playing great teams this weekend. So they probably – and even actually if Auburn beat Oregon, Auburn might jump up over Florida. But I don't know. They probably won't drop – they'd probably drop a little bit. Yeah, they'll probably drop to like 11th or something.
You would think both those teams are better than Florida, Auburn or Oregon.
Auburn, the thing is, the only thing about Auburn right now is they're starting a true freshman quarterback.
Yeah.
You just don't know. He's a five-star. He was the number two rated quarterback in the nation, but he's a true freshman. And Gus Malzahn's on the hot seat. I mean, it's been stated. He's the sole play caller, got rid of his other play caller. So that's always a sign that a coach is kind of doing a last ditch effort. So a coach on the hot seat playing a freshman quarterback. Auburn could have, they do have the talent. They have a top 15 talent roster. They have a great defensive line. And they could get great things from this quarterback. But they also could have a freshman play like a freshman. He could feel the heat, and all of a sudden they could have a bad season. Auburn's another team I don't know.
Another mystery.
Now, Oregon, I think Oregon's going to have a good year. I really do. I mean, you have senior quarterback, the most experienced offensive line in college football. I mean, they do have a tough schedule. All of their toughest games are literally against the most, okay, they're all their toughest, all the most talented teams that they play are on the road. They have not been a good road team.
That's tough.
It's hard to play on the road. So, like, you look at the roster, and the only teams that can really compete with them talent-wise, Auburn, USC, Washington, Stanford, even Arizona State, all on the road. It's funny. All their home games, they play teams that are really not even close to as talented as them, and then it's at home. So they're going to win all their home games. It's the road schedule. Can they win all those?
And the big one is Washington.
Well, the big one's Auburn right now.
Right now.
But, yeah, for the Pac-12 title, for the opportunity to be a Pac-12 champion, I really think the winner of that Washington-Oregon game wins the Pac-12. The loser... Yeah. They have to hope the other team loses twice.
Yeah, it gets complicated after that.
I don't know.
If you lose.
I don't know if they lose twice. So, but I, if you're going to ask me right now, who do I think would win between Florida against Oregon, I would take Oregon. They got better quarterback play.
Yeah.
And they have a good offensive line, so that kind of negates Florida's good defensive line. They have they have good corners, so they're not necessarily going to roll the ball all over the park, but you know, because of their good offensive line, they also have good receiving tight ends and good receiving running backs. They can take advantage of those linebackers, kind of like Miami did. And I, Felipe Franks, put some pressure on him. He's going to make a mistake, and I think he'd make a couple mistakes. Herbert's probably not going to make very many. I think Florida right now, Oregon would beat Florida right now, and Auburn. I don't know. I'm interested to see how Auburn is, because they're kind of a question mark right now.
They're a mystery. Well, Oregon's at 11 in the polls. Auburn's at 16, SEC team. So a huge matchup of the weekend. We'll have the prediction score towards the end of the show. So we'll, you know, sit tight and relax. Let's go to U.S. Open. Started this past week. What are your expectations in this tournament?
The favorite's Novak. I really think it's probably going to be him that wins it. I mean, I'm probably going to say that. No, I'm looking at this.
The Joker.
I'm going to look at this. I'm going to look at this from an unbiased perspective. He's the best player in the world right now. Who's going to be his toughest match? It's going to. I mean, if Nadal gets through Nadal and Joker, that's going to be a thrilling final. I saw Federer play last night, and he played against a qualifier guy. So it was the opening round. He lost the opening set, and he had a pretty tough fourth set. So he was taking the four sets, and even in the fourth set, it was a little bit rocky. He didn't look great. Now, could it be the early, you know, just getting his groove, getting his momentum? But normally when a guy's going to make a run, in especially U.S. Open's hot. That's a muggy time in New York.
Yeah.
Up there in Flushing, it's super hot, super muggy. Normally, you want to have all your early matches for the guys who really are going to compete for the title. They like to win three sets. They're, you know, I don't know how many. What is it? They play seven matches. Your first three, four matches, you want to get out of there three sets. Like, get the guy out three sets, go on the next match three sets. And then by the quarterfinals, if you have a four-setter or maybe, you know, semifinals have a four-setter, then that's fine. In fact, he went to four sets, and he really didn't look that good. He looked a little off. I don't know. I could see Federer get knocked off in like the third round or even the quarterfinals from what way he looked. Possibly it's just, you know, he's older. Your body has trouble recuperating as fast. It's also hot. If you're older in the heat, maybe it's wearing his body down. I don't know. Didn't like how Federer looked. I think I'm picking Novak versus Nadal. They've played in the U.S. Open final. I don't know. They've played there. Actually, I think they played twice, and I actually think Nadal won the final two times. And it's kind of a Nadal, even though it is a – it's happened recently. It was like, I think they played in 2014 and maybe 2012. And the U.S. Open humid. Because of the humidity, the court plays slower. A slower court favors Nadal. He's a grinder. He likes to take those shots. And, he's a guy that runs off his stamina, off his strength. So he likes the U.S. Open court. That's why he's been a three-time champion. But you know, hard court's always Novak's probably the best hard court player of all time, winning 10 hard court titles between the Australian and the U.S. I think it'll be those two. I would take Novak. I think Novak's a better player right now. I think that would be a good final.
Novak is on a streak from Wimbledon. Let's go to golf. Northern Ireland's Rory McIlroy won the 2019 PGA Tour Championship on Sunday, and he walked away with $15 million first place prize money. The victory handed the world number two the FedEx Cup title, and he became the only second person behind Tiger Woods to win the Tour Championship title twice. Can you tell us your quick thoughts on this win by Rory?
Yeah, I kind of went over. I didn't wasn't as engaged. Tiger wasn't in it. So, but yeah, nice victory by Rory. Sounded like he played really well. He's playing good golf right now. He didn't win a major. He had a disappointing major season, but he's definitely played good in the other tournaments. I think he's won three other tournaments this year. He's had a good year. He just didn't play great in the majors. You know, obviously missing the cut at the British Open. His home country was rough, but other than that, he's had a good year, and congrats on the victory. And he's a great golfer. I hope he comes back next year and competes in majors a little more. He's just not been super competitive in majors over the last 4 or 5 years.
Why is that?
It's been kind of weird. I don't know. You know, he's one of the top golfers in the world. He wins, like I said, he's won three other tournaments this year. He's won the Tour Championship, only the second guy ever to lead in FedEx points. But, yeah, he's just not – he's not played very good majors. I don't know.
Second place was Chuff LA, and third Kopka. Your boy Kopka came in third. So
I think he was leading too, wasn't he?
He was.
Kopka was leading.
I think on a Saturday. Yeah. I think I saw he was way up there on the board. I was watching it a little bit.
Yeah, and then I think he fell off. Yeah.
And it's weird, but there was a lightning strike that I think injured a few people. That was weird.
Yeah.
Oof.
It didn't kill anyone. It injured six people.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Lightning strike only happens one in a million? Something like that.
That was crazy.
It's crazy.
I heard about that.
Andrew Luck suddenly retired on Saturday night. What were your first thoughts?
Shocked. I mean, I was watching the game, Florida versus Miami, and all of a sudden he retired. I'm like, what? Why?
I saw that.
And then I heard his reasons. I'm like, I thought of his career, and I'm like, yeah, he missed that one season because I think it was a shoulder surgery, and then he missed several games, and he didn't play all preseason with an injury and was maybe going to be out for the first bit of the season. I'm like, yeah, he has had a lot of injuries. And you know what? 29 years old with all those injuries, I think he had battled a couple concussions. I was like, yeah, you know what? It makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And then I heard about some of the booing of the fans and Doug Gottlieb, like, calling him a millennial. It was, yeah, I thought the reaction was pathetic.
Yeah.
The guy decides his health, it does not allow him to play the game. I don't even care for the season. It is what it is. He made a decision. It's good for himself. And people have a problem with it. Well, that's their problem.
You think it was mental? Or
if you hate... No, it's not. Yeah, it's not false. It sounded like the injuries that got him... It sounded like the injuries, the concussions, the shoulder surgery, that I think he had also foot problems. I think he might have back problems. I think all the injuries got to him mentally, and he just couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, and I was hearing past couple of weeks that he had a bad calf or ankle, so that was bothering him a lot, too.
Yeah, that's what I said. I think it literally was all parts of his body, so that gets a little old. Now, that being said, call me a skeptic. If he comes back in 2 years, I would not be shocked.
Me either. It could happen. He has so much time left.
No. He's 29. So if he decides to come back at 31, 32, his body rests up, and all of a sudden he's like, oh, I'm ready to go again. And you know what? 2 years, maybe a certain someone's retiring. Andrew Luck's obviously a cerebral guy that played for Stanford, you know. I could see him getting along with Bill Belichick. I don't know.
Wow. Good observation. How long was Peyton Manning out?
I don't know.
What'd you say? How long was Peyton Manning out? Was he out for a year?
He's out for a year.
Yeah, I could see that happening. I think he'd just heal up, and then it's like, man, I think I'm ready to go. I think he'll just get up one day.
I could see him retiring for like 2 years and then come back.
Yeah, he's just so young. But he's that rough and tough quarterback. He goes in, does like a whole lot of quarterback sneak stuff, so he gets banged up a lot.
And he and his offensive line in general, that offense is terrible.
Yeah,
like they drafted Luck and never gave him a great receiving core, never gave him a great line. It was really weird.
Jacoby Brissett, what do you expect from him? Do you think he'll tank for the Colts, or do you think he might have something?
No, I think he'll be good. I think he was a good guy at the Patriots, and he played the 1 year a lot for the Colts. And did some good things. So, no, I think he's going to be good. I think he's the future? No. He'll be drafting a quarterback in the first round next year.
Yeah.
But he's good for now. Yeah. So, I mean, next year I would expect, like, next year I'm looking at these people. I mean, you're going to have for sure Cincinnati probably in the first round. You're going to for sure have Indianapolis in the first round. You're possibly looking at Oakland, depending how Derek Carr looks this year.
Miami.
They could be going in the first round. You have to wonder about New England. Now, I had this conspiracy about Luck, but he's not for sure coming back. So you have to wonder if.
But they have New Stidham, England, though.
You don't think
he has much of a future?
Take over for Brady? Well, I think he's good. He's looked very good in the preseason. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I mean, look.
We'll see.
Look what Tom Brady, like Stidham was a better college quarterback than Brady, and look what Brady became in the NFL.
Now, Brady did sign a two-year contract, so he has at least till 2021.
Yeah, but, I mean, how much longer can he go than that? Tom Brady's 42, right?
Yeah, he looked pretty old the other day. I saw him in the press conference.
No, I mean, he can't go on forever. There's going to be an end, so. I mean,
there's an end to everything.
God bless the guy. He literally seems like he could go on forever, and he's won so many Super Bowls. He probably feels like he could go on forever. But I have to think that it's going to be done here in a few years.
It has to be, at least by next year. I mean, I would have retired this past
maybe,
year. But.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a few teams. But Stidham was a fourth-round guy. You don't normally draft your franchise, but Brady was sixth round, so who knows?
Yeah.
But I could see, you know, Dolphins. You don't know. It depends on how Rosen looks. They could be going that route. I don't know. There's a lot of teams that could be drafted in the first round next year. So
yeah, I'm very optimistic with Josh Rosen. I mean he's only been one season, so he could shine this year. Who knows?
Yeah, he could. So let's say Miami doesn't have a good year. Let's say Miami finishes. You're a Dolphin fan. Let's say they finish 4-12. Oof. They have the number four pick, number five pick. You wouldn't take Tua Tagovailoa or Justin Herbert?
I think they'll be gone before then.
You think the second one would be?
I mean,
you wouldn't trade up for them?
I would trade up for them. Yeah,
so you would?
Yeah, I for sure. But obviously, if we say the fourth pick. Tua and Herbert will be gone by then.
There is a possibility, but it depends. It really depends. I mean, for instance, if the Arizona Cardinals, I don't think they're going to be very good. I've seen them play a couple times this year. They're not a very good team.
Yeah.
Oh, they have a really bad offensive line. They could be the number one pick. They're not going to draft Tua Tagovailoa or Justin Herbert. They'll draft Andrew Thomas or Walker Little. And then maybe with the second pick, you have who's another not very good team right now?
Tampa Bay.
Yeah, well, Tampa might draft them though. Tampa could Tampa, Tennessee, Detroit. If they have the number two or three pick, I could see them drafting Tua or Justin. And don't forget Jordan Love. I think Jordan Love might go into the first round.
He could.
The kid from Utah State. I shared the article today.
Yeah,
I think he could. Now, I know there's some talk about Jake Fromm, but when I read a lot of NFL scouts, they don't love him. Now, if he has an amazing year, wins a national title, wins a Heisman, then he could be a guy that moves up because it's just, you know, he's a good player. But I think right now they're like, he's a guy that plays on a really talented team, one of the most talented teams in college football, and he's kind of a game manager. But he also, in big games like against Alabama in the SEC title game, he really didn't make the big key players to win the game. And he's not very big. He's not super athletic. He doesn't have a crazy good arm. So he's a guy that I know you hear from a lot, but I could also see him going like in the third, fourth round.
Wow.
So, yeah. I mean, he's just not super gifted. I mean, he's not like I mean,
do you think he's in the top five best college quarterbacks right now?
Yeah, he probably. I mean, if I was to say top five best college quarterbacks, I'd probably say, you know, just he's a good quarterback. He's an experienced quarterback. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He's an accurate passer. He plays on a great team. So yeah, I'd probably put it's Tua. They're probably Trevor, Tua,
Herbert.
Justin, yeah. Sam Ehlinger, and Fromm. But you could be a great. Sam Ehlinger is a great college quarterback. Sam Ehlinger could be a guy that is a Heisman contender, a Heisman Trophy winner.
You talked about that in the previous show. Yeah,
He's not going to be a high round. He's not going to be a high draft pick at all in the NFL.
No, probably not. As of right now.
No. He could go next year.
Yeah.
Sam Ehlinger. No, but he doesn't have that. He's not a terrific arm. He's not really, definitely does not really have a pro skill set at the quarterback position. What he is physical. What he is a good runner. What he is he knows how to manage a game. He can run a college offense. He's more Tim Tebow than anything else. And how did Tim Tebow end up as an NFL quarterback?
Not too well.
Wasn't any good. So there's a different skill set. You can be a great Jalen Hurts, while I disagreed that he was going to be a Heisman finalist, and I also disagreed that he was going to be the Big 12 player of the year, yeah. Jalen Hurts is still a very good college quarterback.
You think Justin went too far on that?
I disagree with that. But I don't know about too far, because if he's playing for him, he's been the best in the Big 12 in the past 5 years. He also, Lincoln Riley is a quarterback whisperer. Look, he won. He was back-to-back Heisman, back-to-back first-round draft picks in Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray. I mean, Lincoln Riley knows quarterbacks. If I was a quarterback, I would go to Lincoln Riley. That being said, I don't see Jalen Hurts being a professional quarterback.
Yeah, there's talks about that a lot.
He's a guy maybe that'd be drafted. He could be a guy that's a situational quarterback, but I just don't see him as, he doesn't read well enough. He's a little bit of a quirky throwing motion. He's not accurate. Not an accurate passer at all. And all those things I just don't translate to success. But he's a great college quarterback.
Yeah.
But being a great college quarterback and a great pro is two different things. And that's even Jake Fromm. I think Jake Fromm is a good college quarterback. I think he can lead his team to a successful season, especially with the talent he has on him. I just don't know if Jake Fromm is really the type of quarterback that's a franchise quarterback in the NFL. And actually, if you want my opinion, I don't think he is.
Okay.
Maybe he could prove me wrong this year, but I've seen him play enough. I've seen him play in big games, and I don't see an NFL talent.
There you go.
The NFL talent right now is Tua, Trevor, and Justin. Those guys are NFL quarterbacks. I mean, Trevor and Justin, you write them up in a book, like 6'6", 235, accurate, rocket arm, mobile. They're perfect. Tua is a little different, but Tua is very skilled, processes very well. He can be very accurate. So he does a lot of things that are very elite for the quarterback position. So even though he's a little smaller, he gets injured pretty easily. And I think that could affect his draft stock if he gets injured again. But Tua's still, he's still
an elite quarterback.
An NFL. He's going to play in the NFL.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, there's talks about it in Miami and now Indianapolis. There's rumors about them tanking for Tua or Herbert. So we'll see what happens. Anything else before we head into predictions?
No, I'm good.
All right, let's go. All we have is college, Georgia at Vanderbilt.
Oh, Georgia.
It's going to be all easier.
They're playing this week, so I didn't know that.
Yeah. Clemson at Georgia Tech.
Clemson, blowout.
Oklahoma at Houston.
Houston's at Houston. Dana Holgerson's a great coach. Yep, great coach. He inherits a little bit of talent. Oklahoma's one of those teams, they don't play a lot of defense. If you don't play a lot of defense, sometimes you're susceptible for the upset. Almost got upset by the Army last year. I mean, they got knocked off Iowa State a couple years ago. I remember it was an upset. So, this is a game, and Houston has a very good quarterback. Derek King is one of the best quarterbacks in the non-Power 5, probably top 10 nationally in general. One of those guys, again, that's a good college quarterback. I think it'll be closer than you might think, but I think Oklahoma just has too much talent overall and Lincoln Riley's too good a coach. But watch off that game. I think it'll be pretty good.
Yeah. Also, Northwestern versus Stanford.
Very good game. Underrated good game. Yeah. It's at Stanford. They're both kind of like, I think Northwestern was number 25 in the coaches, and Stanford was number 25 in the AP. These teams are pretty even as far as, like, coming into the season. You're looking at, you know, so windy up here.
Yeah, it looks like it. It sounds like it.
I think you're about – can you hear me good?
Yeah, I hear you good, but sometimes the wind comes in, you know, here and there. But.
Okay, yeah, because I'm outside. It's, like, raining. It's, like, weird. Anyway, so I think they're both 9-4. It's at Stanford. I think Stanford does have – I mean, I look at the, obviously, I'm a talent evaluator, and Stanford definitely has a more talented roster. I do really like Pastor Sherrill. I'm going to go Stanford. I think it's going to be a really good game, though. I go Stanford.
And the biggest game of the weekend, Oregon versus Auburn.
Auburn's going to destroy it. No, I'm just kidding. no, like I said, again, I think it's going to be a great game. I really think it is just like their best, like our good old line versus their good D line. Question marks at receiver, but question marks in their secondary. You know, we have good but not great running backs. They have talented but young linebackers. I really think it's going to be one of those games that, and then vice versa. You know, they have some talented wide receivers. We have some more experienced D-backs, but they're talented, so who knows. And then their offensive line has been inconsistent, but it's experience. Our defensive line has been inconsistent, but it's experience. It's such an even game. But I have always remained. I think that Justin Herbert, one of the best quarterbacks in college football, going against a true freshman, playing his first collegiate game ever, the game of the week, I think he's going to make a couple mistakes. I think he's going to turn the ball over in the red zone once. I think he's going to fumble a ball here. I think he's going to make a couple turnovers. I don't think Herbert's going to make any turnovers. I think that's enough to secure a 23-19 victory. And another thing, I think they're going to have trouble putting the ball in the end zone. In the red zone. Both teams are. But I think Herbert is going to get them in the end zone one more time. They're both going to kick a couple field goals. 23-19 Oregon.
23-19 Oregon. That's a close game. That's a close game.
I mean, like I said, it's extremely even. The game's very even.
Yeah, it shouldn't be sloppy as Miami and Florida.
You know, it is the first game of the season.
It could be.
You just never know. But yeah, I hope not.
that game was... I thought Miami was going to win at a certain point, but it just didn't pan out.
Yep.
Anyway,
turn around.
Random question: what is your favorite type of dog?
I'm not really a dog guy. Probably a Weimaraner.
Wow. I haven't heard
Weimaraner or a there's another one. Shoot, I forget it. Weimaraner is another dog with a short tail. Vizsla or a Weimaraner?
Yeah, I'm not much of a dog person either, but if you had to pick one, I don't know. I got to think about that one. Ty, how can people reach you to talk to you about the Oregon game?
At TurnerCast. And I will be at TurnerCast, but I'll be on SportsCast page giving
up-to-date game analysis.
Whole entire game.
That's going to be exciting. And to be honest, you get some people from Oregon State debating you sometimes.
I mean, on my – yeah. On
yours, podcast, yeah, exactly. So it should be –
which is annoying because Oregon State sucks. It's not even funny that they even do that.
Exactly. Oregon versus Auburn this Saturday at 7:30 p.m. live from the AT&T Stadium in Dallas, Texas. Yes, where the Cowboys play, and it should be a very exciting match. Of course, we got Herbert versus Auburn, Bo Nix. We'll see what Gus is up to, and of course, the beginning of what we're going to see, what Oregon's going to be raveling out this season. Pretty excited. Visit us on thesportscast.net and on Twitter at thesportscast1. Watch the latest, and if you haven't yet, listen to the college football preview show. We had a lot going on there. We mentioned Jalen Hurts to be Heisman, unbelievable. And, of course, we talk about Big 12 and SEC. And we'll have Justin on this Thursday, talk about a little bit Alabama, SEC. They played an easy game this weekend. So We'll see how Duke? It goes. Yeah, Duke, that should be
Duke.
All right, man. Ty, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Okay, thanks.